Hallelujah. Amen. Now, you young ladies, don't let nobody ever tell you you talk funny. I've been up north about 40 years now, and I still talk a little funny myself, according to them. But God's country wears gospel grits and greens.
That's right.
And that's a good thing, too, because Baptists love to eat. Hey, after listening to all the testimonies today and the songs that we sang and the hymns, I mean, just the power of everything moving and listening to it tonight, the Lord just kind of laid a special message on my heart tonight that is just quite fitting. I want to talk about the secret to living a stress-free life. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 13. Thank you, Pastor. Get there, give me a big amen, let me know that you're there.
Amen.
Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now, I'm going to tell you, talking about leading a stress-free life, The one thing that we have to overcome worry is a secure mind.
Amen.
2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of sound mind, of power, and love.
Amen.
We need to stop being anxious and don't have a habit of worrying about stuff. I think that is probably one of the worst habits us Christians have is worry. Whether we worry over finances or we worry about circumstances or other people or other situations in our life.
Yep.
And you look at the word habit, and I think I've said this before, but you take the word habit, H-A-B-I-T, and even if you try to downsize that word a little bit and you take the H off habit, you still have a bit. And you could take the A off of it and it's still a bit. You could take the B off it and it's still it. And the only way to get the I out of it is to take it to the T, take it to the cross.
Amen.
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 Worrying only makes our problems bigger.
Right.
You know, I was so worried last week when I got home after the situation that me and my wife had experienced and what she had went through. I think in 24 hours, I only slept about a half hour. I worried.
Yeah.
I'm human. Every time we heard a bump in the night, or every time we heard the dogs barking, every time something went on, we worried.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you, it only made the problem worse for me. I lacked sleep. It didn't change the situation.
Right.
It didn't change the problem.
Yeah.
It didn't change what had occurred.
Right.
Humans are the only creation of God who worry.
Right.
There's not another animal, not another species, anything that walks this earth that worries except us. Matter of fact, worry is not even in the King James Bible. You can't find the word worry anywhere in there.
Amen.
This is God's inspired word. And why God didn't put it in the Bible? Because he doesn't want us doing it.
Amen. Amen.
So we look at verse 6, talking about be careful for nothing. Worrying only changes you, not what you're going through. We become what I believe when we lack faith and belief in God and his powers and abilities. I think when we do that, we become instant atheists.
Yeah.
Because we tell God we know better than you.
Yeah.
Proverbs 12:25 says, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, But a good word maketh it glad.
Amen.
In our days of tension, trouble, frustration, failure, take it all to the Lord in prayer.
Amen.
Everything. Amen. The good, the bad, the ugly. Amen. Take it all to the Lord in prayer. Verse 6 also says, and everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Prayer itself is a very generic term. But the word supplication is a little bit deeper than that.
That's right.
It's an entreating, earnest pleading for personal need.
Amen.
Thanksgiving should always accompany a prayer or petition.
Amen.
And it's also the essence of worship and devotion. While God might know what we need, He already knows. He wants us to have that relationship with Him.
Amen.
He wants us to communicate with Him.
Amen.
He wants to hear it from us.
That's right.
That we are totally dependent upon Him.
Amen.
1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You know, there's a lot of times in life that when we give things to the Lord, we seem to think that He doesn't work fast enough for us sometimes, or He doesn't give us the answer that we're expecting. And what we give to the Lord, oftentimes we start taking little pieces of that back and figuring, God, you're busy. Let me try to help you with this problem.
Yeah.
I give you the problem, but let me try to help you with it because I know you got other things to worry about and you're just not moving fast enough. You know, our founding fathers in America were deists. They didn't believe, it's not that they didn't believe in God. They believed in God greatly. But they didn't believe God could concern Himself with man's smaller problems.
Yep.
Why would God be concerned with that? You know, we can handle them ourselves. Verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding. This surpasses all power of human reason or comprehension. God's thoughts aren't our thoughts. His ways aren't our ways. Oftentimes we question God when something happens in our life. Why, God? Why did you allow this to happen? And it's not God all the time.
Yeah.
It's not always God. All the bad stuff. You know, I have people that come and say, you know, well, you say you're a Christian and you love God, but how could you love God when He allows such tragedy to happen in lives? Deaths, homicides, crimes. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's not all from God. God wants nothing but good for us.
Amen. Yeah.
A lot of that comes from Satan, comes from the devil.
Yeah. Right.
Now, God will test us, though. He'll test our faith to see if we're going to be faithful to Him. But He's not going to do evil to us.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to this power that worketh in us. This is the same omnipotent power that rose Jesus from the grave and quickened our spirits when we were dead in sin. God is an all-powerful God. God is a sovereign God. You know you have peace as a Christian when everything else around you falls to pieces, but yet you still have that peace. Now, there's two terms in the Bible that talks about peace with God and peace of God. Philippians were referring to peace of God. But there's a peace with God, and that describes the state between God and the Christian. Deals with our salvation. Peace of God describes the condition within the Christian. Or in the matter of the unsaved, the relationship that they don't have with each other, man and God. It's like being at war with God. Are you ready to put the white flag up? And, you know, if you're not saved and just say, you know, I'm ready to have peace with you, God, because you're not going to win. You're going to lose.
Yeah.
But the peace of God is dependent upon prayer.
Amen. Yeah.
That's where we get our peace from. Isaiah 26:3 says, thou will keep him in a perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. You know, I talked about becoming instant atheists when we don't trust God, when we don't follow God. Jesus walked out on the water, told Peter, Peter, get out the boat and come to me. Peter got out the boat and scared and started walking on water, but yet he started sinking. He looked behind him and started sinking. Well, it's because his mind wasn't stayed on the Lord.
Right.
He started to waver in faith. Started to not believe. Matter of fact, all the disciples, when they walked with the Lord, didn't want to believe to begin with.
Right.
All these things that he's doing and performing, it just was just too hard to believe. Things that we worry about in life, if it's not worth praying about, then it's not worth worrying about. When we say, God, I can handle this, I can take care of this, there's a scripture that comes to my mind that we really need to apply. It's Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He wants to be our Father.
Amen.
Amen.
He wants to give us all the things that we need, even our desires, as long as we're faithfully walking in obedience to him.
Amen.
And that blessed hope is a wonderful thing, especially when it's in the Lord. Humble obedience with prayerful expectations. When we got saved and we became born again as believers, our biggest problem as believers was already taken care of, and that was our salvation. That was taken care of at Calvary. Matter of fact, even before we come to the Lord, it was taken care of. For God sent his son, only begotten son, to die on that cross at Calvary, not just for those that believe, not just the righteous, for the lost, for the sinner. While we were yet sinners, God still loved us. So if he took care of our biggest problem, which was our salvation, because there's only two type of people in the world, the saved and the unsaved, why wouldn't God take care of the smaller matters in our life? You know, I believe in churches today that don't preach the true gospel. And I believe that we wouldn't have so many non-churchgoers in society today if we didn't have so many non-churches.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Moving on to verse 8 in Philippians. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things.
Amen.
Think about the good things.
Amen. Yeah.
If you want peace of mind, control and regulate what goes into it. Trash in equals trash out.
That's right. Yeah.
Stress and worry, that's what you're going to get. Garbage in your life, that's what you're going to get.
Yeah.
This is the battlefield right here. Verse 11 goes on to say, therewith be content. Enjoy what you have now instead of waiting for something to make you happy.
Amen.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
Be content in all things.
Right.
If you're poor, praise the Lord and just be content.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus didn't have a bed to lay his body in, a roof to put over his head. Even the birds of the air said had a nest, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. God provides us with what we need. He gives us our clothing. He gives us our food. He gives us our bare necessities.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying that Christians should struggle and have to just struggle through life and drudgery as Christians. No, be joyful.
Amen.
Yeah.
Being content is to limit oneself in requirements, desires, or actions. Contentment is the opposite of covet. Instead of coveting something, be content with what you have.
Amen.
You know, I need clothing, but I don't need to go out and buy a $1,000 suit. I need transportation, but I don't need a Mercedes Benz. I don't need a personal jet to fly me from one church service on a Sunday morning to the West Coast for a Sunday evening service.
Amen.
Be content in your employment and your job that you have. God's placed you there for a reason.
Amen.
You could be happy just being a janitor. While you're pushing that mop or pushing a broom, man, you could be witnessing to somebody.
Yeah.
Giving them the gospel.
Amen.
Amen. Be content in it. God's got a purpose for you. Amen. Verse 12. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I've been poor. I've been on the richer side of things, chasing that green God, chasing that dollar.
Yep.
I've been homeless. I've got a home.
Yeah.
I know both sides of the struggle. Grass ain't always greener on the other side of the fence either. But many of us start out in life as unique individuals, just how God created us. But later in life, we start to become carbon copies of other people. We try to become somebody we're not, or try to be somebody that we're not. We try to emulate or be what we see in our sports heroes and things like that today. What's that old Olympic swimmer, gold medalist? Nah, he's from down Maryland. Michael Phelps, thank you. I also have one of them senior moments here. Michael Phelps, not long ago, you know, everybody wanted to look up to be Michael Phelps. Gold medalist, just a really all-American guy. And I'm here to tell you that Michael Phelps came to a point in his life, even after the lows, you know, of the DUIs and the drugs, to get straightened out from that. Went to another low in his life where he put a gun in his mouth, was going to kill himself. It took a Baltimore Ravens football player that was a Christian, that he called him up and asked why he was so happy in life, and actually talked him out of killing himself. And Michael Phelps finally gave his heart to the Lord.
Amen.
But you know, being rich and having money and all that prestige and stuff, that don't make you happy. It don't bring you contentment. Doesn't bring you any of that. We need to stop thinking about having more will make us happier. I'm guilty of it with the food, because like I said, I like to eat. I like to go to restaurants that got all you could eat somewhere in the name. And I take them down about 8-9 plates at a time. But I'm not content sometimes with the food. I just keep shoveling it on in. But in all seriousness, we need to stop looking after living this new American dream. We're maxing out credit cards and getting these big 2-3-story houses, 3-car garages, 3-4 cars in the drive, and you ride by and you look at them and you think that they're doing good in life. And are they really doing good in life? Probably not. They probably got 2 mortgages, 4 car notes, making $200,000 a year, but spending $350,000. How good are they doing? And even outside the financial aspect of how are they doing, what about the spiritual aspect? Are they saved? Because if they're not, it doesn't matter what they have in life. While they may think their best advised plans will keep them out of hell, while they're running around talking about peace and safety, but yet it quickly falls upon them. Look, we're late for a lot of appointments in life, but there's one appointment we're not going to be late with, and that's death. And if you think peace and safety and everything's fine and you're lost and you're living as a sinner in the world, I'm here to tell you that you're walking over a rotten rope, dry rotten, over the pits of hell that's ready to break at any minute and waiting to consume you.
Amen.
I know the people in hell today wish they could hear the gospel just one more time.
Amen.
I know God's angry with them, but he's more angry with us that's still alive that just reject the gospel.
Amen.
Ecclesiastes 4:6 says, "It's better is a hand full with quietness than both hands full with travail and vexation of spirit." Being content. The question I have tonight is, if God asks you to give something away you own, and you can't do it, or don't do it, or won't do it, do you own it? I say it owns you. It owns you. Whether it's a sports car, whether it's a football team, whatever you got in control of your life that's controlling you to the point that you can't let it go, you don't own it, it owns you. If you went home today and your house had burnt to the ground after this church service, or you had something happen to you like what happened to me and my wife, could you still be content? Be thankful that you're still alive.
Amen.
Be thankful that you still got your church and people that love you and people that care about you.
Yeah.
This is why we need to put our security in matters and things that can't be taken away, such as the Lord, and not in things that can. You know, we put all this stock in stuff that we have and things that we own, and as Christians, we say we try not to, and I don't want to get off on a rabbit trail, but we talk about fads and fashions and stuff, and yet we still try to dress like the world.
That's right.
Still try to act like the world, to reach the world.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
I just don't understand it.
Amen.
You know, I've been to some churches here recently that just, they turn my stomach. And it's only because I have to go to them, you know, till I get out in September. I went to a church down in Salisbury, Maryland for an Easter production. And it started with a whole bunch of flags and singing and dancing stuff. And this is supposed to be Passion Week, by the way. And before we can get into the chapel, they got the cafe set up outside selling peanuts, coffee, soda pop, popcorn, T-shirts, right in the chapel. I'm looking around. I want to know where the ATM machine's at before you go in the sanctuary. So we sit down, this production starts, and this Passion Week production has absolutely not one thing to do with Jesus Christ. He didn't come into the picture until about the last half hour of the show. And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking to myself, boy, oh boy, oh boy, here we call ourselves Christians. We're in a Christian church. This one of them nine churches I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yet we're trying to be like the world to reach the world. They get the rocking and the rolling with this music. And
I listen,
these people get so offended around me when I start speaking the truth about this stuff. And I tell them if they get offended, it's because they need to be offended.
Amen.
Well, this is my church. Well, you might need to find you a better church.
Amen.
There ain't no such thing as a perfect church, but you got to get to some sound teaching somewhere, somehow along the line. Calvary Church in Dover. I ended up with a production down there at Christmas time I had to go to and attend. Man, Santa Claus was through three quarters of that one. I said, I could expect to see this in a public building, a school, or a, you know, a place like that, but not church.
That's right, amen.
Here comes the humanism.
Amen.
It got even worse. They was up in the balcony seats. My wife's sitting there beside me. Here they come hustling bottles of water. Get you an ice cold bottle of water, $2. I said, man, I'm at a ball game or I'm at church.
That's right.
But it's going for a good cause.
Yeah,
yeah, I bet it is.
Amen.
It's messy. I did a count. There is 78 churches between Seaford and Laurel where I am. 78 churches. And you'd think with 78 churches, everybody down there would be saved. It's more sin going on in a little bit down there.
Amen.
Because they're not getting the truth.
Right. Amen.
Being content is not something that we're just born with. It's like common sense. You're born with that. God can't give you that later in life. You can't learn that. But contentment is a learned process. It's not going to be easy either. When you got to give it all to God and just be content with the situations and circumstances and people that you're in life. Verse 13 said it best, that I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. In Christ all things are possible. Job 22:21, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. This was directed at Job from Eliphaz, a man whom Satan took away his wealth, his health, his children. But yet Job was still content. Not turning his back on the Lord, Job was still a content man. Lost all his kids killed at the same time in a house collapse. Boils on his body. Wife telling him, listen, just deny Jesus. He deny the Lord. He's not going to help you. But he still remained faithful.
Amen.
Faith, by the way, is another one of my little acronyms I like. Far as I take him. If I only take him up to the street corner with me and drop him off, that's as far as he's going. He ain't going to go no further, even though I do.
Amen.
Jeremiah 29:11-12 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." Amen. That's the prayer part of it. We got to go to God. Amen. In everything in prayer, we've got to go to God. John 10:10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it more abundantly." God's got a plan for each and every one of us. We just got to trust in him with it. You know, it's probably no condolence to Miss April, but I've got to say, me and my wife was talking about this when Brother George died at such a young age. I don't believe, as a Bible-believing Christian, that God takes you off this earth or allows your time card to be punched until you've achieved what he's wanted you to achieve, which your purpose was. Brother George touched me in a great way, as he did many. He reached God's purpose. Brother Keith as well. Boy, I know they're dancing in heaven now. So I just want to conclude with this, that if today that you are not at peace with God, now is that acceptable time. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. You know, I see so many people talk about, my mom is one of them, maybe a deathbed confession. You don't know when you're going to take your last breath, though. And it's not that God won't save you. Look at the thief on the cross. "Lord, don't forget me." He said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Amen. Right. He stole his way into heaven, but yeah. Needless to say, he went to heaven. Amen. Yeah. Never an opportune time when you hear the truth in the gospel to reject it. If you're not saved and you're out here and you get in your car and you go down the road tonight and God forbid you have a terrible accident on the way home, you're going to wake up to an eternity that you didn't want. So if you're not saved in that, I encourage you. This would be the time to let me or pastor or Josh or somebody in the church here just to take the scripture and sit down with you and show you tonight how Jesus Christ could be the Lord of your life, because I'm telling you, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Amen. And for those that need peace of God, just take it to the altar, man. Give it to him in prayer. Everything. The little stuff, the big stuff. I thank God that I serve a God that's a just God and not a fair God. Yeah. You know, I always make comments. Somebody asks me, "How you doing today, brother?" I said, "Better than I deserve." Amen. Some people don't understand that. Well, anything that I have, I don't deserve none of it to begin with. Amen. But I just encourage, if you just need that peace of God, just pray. Consistently wake up in the morning to pray. Thank God for waking you and giving you the breath of day. Praise him when you're going through a storm throughout your day. Thank him at night that hopefully during your course of your day that you reached out and gave somebody the gospel, or you witnessed to somebody. It's just now's that time.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.